You're in the war room. My name is Vince Negro. Welcome to the program. Hope everyone's doing well out there. All good on our end. Today's program, Rob Butler, manager of the Toronto Maple Leaf Baseball Club. Opening day is this Sunday, May 12th, Mother's Day. Rob, a former Blue Jay and Philadelphia Philly, will talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs, a little bit about their past, their present, and their future. Stay with us for a great interview with Rob Butler. Rob Butler, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I've heard so much great things about you. We have some mutual friends with some of the new owners of the Toronto Maple Leaf baseball team. And we'll get to that, the Toronto Maple Leaf baseball team. But you are someone who grew up in baseball, played baseball. You played for the Toronto Blue Jays, Philadelphia Phillies. Growing up as a kid, was baseball something that was always on your radar? Were you a good athlete? How did baseball come into your purview?
It's funny, you know, it really does, for me and my brother, we both felt like we were born to play baseball. We grew up in Maine and Danforth. We grew up in Ontario housing, government housing. The greatest gifts we ever got at Christmas was tennis balls. You know, we were always athletic. My mom and dad never played sports, but they did the Toronto Marathon. They're runners, right? So they always had us outside playing sports, playing ball hockey, and playing some softball, which is funny. My dad actually played some softball with us when we were like 8 and 5 years old. And I just had a love for throwing a baseball, hitting a baseball that was innate in me from the time I was born. So I'm just lucky that, you know, I was able to make my dream come true, really, for someone who grew up the way I did in Maine and Danforth. You know, it really was a one in a million type thing for me.
I was asking you a little bit off camera that, you know, in the city of Toronto, you know, you got athletes, great athletes come out of everywhere, basketball players, Brampton, hockey players, some up north. East York, that whole east end of Toronto, always seemed to have great ball players come out of there, like yourself, and there's a lot of great ball players. Is it because the programs that were out there, the parks, kind of worked more with kids in baseball?
It definitely was a demographic of where I grew up in East York. Stan Wadlow being where it was the centerpiece of everyone that was in that neighborhood. From all the athletic schools we all came from, we all kind of ended up playing hockey in the winter and then baseball in the summer. And so East York was like the nest egg of building all these great baseball players. There wasn't a lot of great coaching there, but there was great teams, right? People like Alfie Payne used to play for the Leafs, was a coach there. Bobby Nelson, who worked for the Blue Jays and was big time in baseball, he was a coach there. But they coached the older guys. So for us, when I was playing Tyke and Pee Wee, Bantam, we looked up to those guys. Those guys were our heroes and they motivated us. So people like Alan Butler, who played pro ball, who was before us, those were the guys who built that whole feeling of East York is a team that you fight for, they're your brothers. All that was built, that culture, that East York culture was built into us when we were very young.
Just a quick question before we get into the Toronto Blue Jays, Toronto Maple Leafs. The hand-eye coordination that they talk about at baseball, ultimately for guys that get into the big leagues like you, is it just a God-given talent or is that something that can also be learned, that hand-eye coordination?
You know, that's a tough question, very tough. It definitely is something that you are 100% born with. Because I didn't grow up playing baseball at a high level every day. I played house league baseball, right? Most of my life I played house league baseball. And the people I was facing never threw above 80 miles an hour, right? It was very rare to find someone who could throw that hard. And when I was 18 years old, I was playing on the Olympic team. I went to Seoul and the Canadian Olympic team as an 18-year-old, and I was facing guys throwing 95 to 100. And I was still able to hit those guys. So the innate ability, and they would test our eyesight and they would test your reaction time, and all the testers back in the early 90s would say baseball players have some of the best eyesight they've ever seen. The photographic memory, that's actually one of the main superpower that a baseball player has. They can take a snapshot of you throwing a ball and they never forget it, right? It's kind of like that feeling of riding a bike. Once you got it, you got it. So when they would see a pitcher for the first time, bam, it goes into the memory bank, and that's what they are so good at. They know the timing and the rhythm of that pitcher instantly.
So Rob, you ultimately ended up in the big leagues. You played for the Toronto Blue Jays and the Philadelphia Phillies. Toronto Blue Jays, and you were there in the World Series era. Tell us a little bit about what that feeling was like walking into that stadium and playing for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, you know, I always count myself as the luckiest Canadian in the world because I was the ultimate Blue Jay fan. I knew every player, I knew every stat. I could tell you things that they did in 1984. I remember Ernie Witt was my coach in the minor leagues. I would be talking about games where he had home runs, tight games that Dave Steeb pitched, Jimmy Acker, Barry Bunnell, Willie Upshaw when they first. So there was that immediate connection to the team that I absolutely loved, right? I missed school to watch spring training games. I don't even think they show spring training games on TV as much anymore. So I was the ultimate fan who was motivated to be a good baseball player, never really thinking that I was going to live the dream of being a professional even, or for sure in the major leagues. But it was they instilled a drive because of the characters that they created, right? All those people were characters to me that I loved. And like a movie star, right? To me, they were my movie stars. George Bell, Lloyd Mosby, you know, Dave Steeb, like I said, Tom Henke. Yeah. You know, I was Tom Henke when I was pitching in the playgrounds, right? You know, imitating the Terminator. So to get the chance to sign pro and become a major league, it's the ultimate dream come true for any kid who loved baseball as much as I did.
You played for the Toronto Blue Jays, and then you had a short stint with Philadelphia Phillies. And you're known, they talk about this hit that you got off of Curt Schilling. Mm-hmm. You still remember that hit?
I still feel that hit.
You still feel that hit?
I still feel it. I still feel like it's happened to me right now. So now I have these goosebumps again. Now I can see the crowd. I can see the 70,000 people in Veterans Stadium booing me. I can see Schilling on the mound. I can still feel all the things that I felt. And it wasn't an initial nervousness. It was definitely like an ultimate adrenaline rush. And it was like, the score was 2-0. Willie Cañante was on first base after Borders got on base. And I could literally feel every feeling that I had. And that whole at bat was, I'm not striking out. I'm finding my way to make contact, hopefully to get on base. And ended up being like a 10 or 11 pitch at bat. I was fouling balls out that were over my head, fouling balls out that were probably 5 feet outside. But that was just, you know, I was not going down no matter what. Cito gave me the opportunity to be in that situation, which is the ultimate dream come true, playing in the ninth inning in a World Series game, pinch hitting. And I wanted to make the most of it. And it is definitely something I've never forgotten.
So you get out of baseball. You obviously have, you're a baseball person through and through, obviously a stats person. Obviously managing is something that became, could be something in your purview down the line. You retire. I want to talk a little about the Toronto Maple Leaf baseball team. Jack Domenico, which I personally knew, in 1969, started that Toronto Maple Leaf brand. The Toronto Maple Leaf baseball brand next to the Toronto Argonaut Rowing Club is one of the oldest brands out there in the city of Toronto. They started playing at Christie Pitts in 1969. After your retirement, they approached you to play for the Toronto Maple Leaf team. So you played, what, 5 years for the team?
Yeah, I played 5 years for the Leafs. I played in the league actually in 1990 with Stratford. And funny, Jack approached me back when I was 18 to try to play, but I was still only junior age. And junior age Toronto-born players were not allowed to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs baseball team. It was a rule, because Toronto would have been stacked, right? All the players that were in Toronto. So they made a rule where if you were junior age, you'd have to play outside of the city. So I had to play in Stratford first, which gave me my first taste of the league, the competition. I've always known about the league. I've always known about guys like Jimmy Eliopoulos, Bill Bykowski, Ricky Johnson, you know, my buddy Mike Aslin played in the league, all great players. And I followed the league from the time I was a kid as well, right? Everybody knew about the Toronto Maple Leafs. They even had the scores in the league in the newspaper. Yeah. So I was always checking the box score of how the Maple Leafs were doing, seeing the stats of Billy. So I've always been around the league. Jack was not able to get me, which made him upset. And I know he wanted to change the rule. Like he wanted to make a new rule where he could get anybody from Toronto.
Right.
And I think they do that now. But I did promise him, I said, you know what? After my pro days, I will come back, and if I'm healthy and able to walk, I will play for the Leafs. So in 2000, I retired, but I was injured. I wasn't able to play. I actually missed that summer. I sat out one whole year, and Jack was calling me. You know how Jack is. He will not stop calling.
Yeah.
Right? When he wants to, he's coming to get you. He's coming to get you. So in 2001, I did agree. I came for a practice tryout just to see if I could do it, see if I felt good, and I did. I felt great, and so I agreed to sign. I agreed to play for Jack, which is something I always wanted to do. And then my brother got released and he also came. So it became the brothers thing with the Leafs. And I played the next 5 years and had the greatest time playing baseball. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So then you went from playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you are now presently the manager of the Toronto Maple Leaf Baseball Club.
Yes. So I've always wanted to coach. I've always wanted to coach because I've had good and bad coaches in my life, in my baseball career. And I've learned from all of them, you know, tough guys, tough love guys, nurturing guys. And I've always felt that just the way I was with my teammates, because I really put all my teammates first, right? If something was going on, I was right in the mix no matter what. I put them first at all times. And I've always kind of felt that I could pass that along as a coach. First of all, with young kids, I wanted to train young kids to play the game properly, because I always felt that we missed that when we were growing up. Just the little nuances of the game, you know, the little things that would matter that could carry you farther in baseball. So that was always a dream of mine, to be a coach, and learning from everyone: Cito, Terry Francona, Mike Bombard. It goes on. Richie Hebner, all these guys. Ernie Witt was my coach, and I wanted to take little bits and pieces from all of them, and hopefully pass on good information to the kids. We never reinvent the wheel. We just pass on what we were taught. And so my goal was to learn how to coach first before I coached men. Now, I coached kids a lot longer than I thought I would. I was in it for about 17 years because I just loved it so much. And then Jack every now and then was asking if I would be a manager, but I was stuck with my baseball academy that I owned in Ajax. And I just never had time. And then, of course, Jack passed away, which is regrettably something that I never got to say goodbye. I never got to talk to him a little bit before. And then Ty Crawford and Jeff Lounsbury, you know, out of nowhere, I don't even know how they found me, approached me and said, "You want to coach the Leafs?" And it was like, you know, it was good fit and timing was good.
Yeah.
So where we're filming this program, Rob, as you know, we're like minutes away from Chrissy Pitts. And a lot of people that lived in Toronto, whatever, know Chrissy Pitts. Has a long history in terms of the riots back in the early days. So Chrissy Pitts is an iconic place. And everybody who's grown up here in Toronto at one time or another has been to Chrissy Pitts or has visited a Toronto Maple Leaf baseball game because the price is right. The admission is free.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jack was always, you know, I remember him having that coffee cup, and he would go around with the coffee mug, and he would make some collections and sell some hats and that kind of, he ran a tight ship. But God bless him, you know, he kept the team, he worked for the team, he always was a driving force. Passes away, Ty Crawford, who was running the team on behalf of the estate, at some point they decide to put up for sale. A new ownership group comes in, Rob Godfrey, Keith Sein, both guys that I know, great guys in terms of their love for baseball, Rob being involved with the Blue Jays with his dad. They bring a bit of a baseball and a fresh kind of approach in terms of what they want to do there. The one question that kept coming up is this still going to be free? Are they going to charge? Obviously, part of where this team is today, part of the mandate is still to have free admission. And talk to us a little bit about the new ownership group and what your feeling is.
Yeah, I was really excited when I found out that somebody was interested in buying the team. And when they kind of jumped in there and they started announcing that, you know, it was up for sale for real, the team, the players, me, didn't really know what we were going to expect, right? But when Keith called me for the first time and he didn't have a team yet, I instantly got really excited. Excited for the way he is, the energy that he has, and then talking to Rob Godfrey, of course, and some of the other owners, and seeing the passion for all of them to make the brand even more special than it is in all of Canada, right? Especially Toronto, but all of Canada, right? Everybody kind of knows the Toronto Maple Leafs baseball brand, especially growing up in Toronto. Everyone I talk to now, everybody knows the Toronto Maple Leafs brand. So I was excited that they were coming in to make things better for everyone. You know, better working conditions for the players, keeping the park free, treating the fans to something of a more of an exciting spectacle. The park is going to be more blue. Everybody's going to know the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing. I will finally have a hoodie that I can coach in that says the Toronto Maple Leafs on it. So they're bringing all this energy, excitement, and integrity to the team. And the fans are going to appreciate that because it really is geared towards them, to making it more exciting to watch. They're giving away a lot of things. They're going to have lots of more exciting prizes. There's more events going on the field. My wife, Sherry Butler, she's the head of the event that's going to happen. And there's so many exciting things that they're bringing in. And a lot of stuff they're paying out of their own pocket, right? Yeah. There is no revenue generator with ticket sales. Yeah.
So they really want to make this special for all fans, for the kids. And, you know, they're giving away carnations on the first day to the mothers. They're going to be giving away stickers to the kids. They're doing all these fun little things that the kids can do at the park while they're there. And the players just feel way better. The clubhouse is improving. The food's improving. Everything is better. Left Field Brewery is involved. They're going to be doing all the food at the park. So everything is more professional, right? Even though it's not a professional team, it feels like it is. Kind of like this place. Like, it feels like you're in a major league environment here. So opening day is this coming Sunday, which is Mother's Day. Tell us a little bit about the team. Tell us a little about this year's Toronto Maple Leaf Baseball Club. Well, the team has always been competitive, right? All the top players generally hope that they can play for the Leafs, or they generally hope that they can beat the Leafs. So it's almost like the New York Yankees of MLB, right? The Toronto Maple Leafs have always said it as the New York Yankees of MLB. So John Salazzo, Jordan Castaldo, Dusty Richardson, Will Yiannis, the pitcher, like, the team is stacked, right? The team is always prepared and ready to win. Obviously, winning is always difficult at any level. Winning a House League championship is difficult. But these guys come to play every day. That's why it's exciting baseball, right? There's a lot of offense, there's great pitching. You know, some of these guys have come from the big leagues at one time and are in the league. So the league has a prestige about it, and the players know that. The players also know that Toronto has the highest prestige in the league. You know, no disrespect to anybody else, because they're always competitive. Barry and Brantford and Kitchener are always put together great teams. But there is something special about Toronto, right? Anybody who comes and watches, you watch a ball game at Christie Pitch, which is a very old park, very old city park, old fencing, old. But people love it. They love the feel, right? They sit on the hill, and it's just, there's something that's inspiring about it. You see so many kids around. They just love what goes on there, and the players engage with the kids. They love being there, and they just have so much respect for the uniform.
Well, you know, we appreciate you. We can talk all day about the Toronto Maple Leaf Baseball Club and yourself, but we appreciate you coming by and sharing with us a little bit about your history, the Toronto Maple Leaf baseball team. That is, opening day is this Sunday, May 12th, Mother's Day.
Yep. Mother's Day.
Most games are usually played on Sunday afternoons, and I believe the odd Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, Wednesdays, every Sunday till almost September, 2 p.m. We'll be there rocking and rolling in the park, and a few scatterings some Wednesdays. Yeah.
And Toronto Maple Leaf will have a website that people can check the website in terms of the schedule and updating the in terms of what's going to be happening at the ballpark with the new ownership group.
Yes. All you have to do is search Toronto Maple Leafs baseball team, and all that information comes out right away. All the events will come up, everything that's there on their website.
Rob, again, appreciate you coming by. Good luck with the Toronto Maple Leaf Baseball Club this year. And we'll hope to catch you soon. We're planning to maybe to come down and do a couple of interviews with yourself on the field and some of the players. And again, good luck on the upcoming season.
Yes, thank you. We're looking forward to 2024. We know we're going to be right in the mix, and hopefully we get well and where we want them in the championship.
We hope you enjoyed the program with Rob Butler, the manager of the Toronto Maple Leaf Baseball Club. Opening day is this Sunday, May the 12th. Catch them at 2 o'clock.
Yep, p.m. 2 p.m.
Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next week on the War Room.